My name is Andy Ipkovich.
Your age?
Age 50.
Place of birth?
New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Where did you grow up?
Danbury, Connecticut.
How did you get into the service?
I went through the ROTC program at Maine Maritime Academy, where I was commissioned as an ensign in the Navy.
Okay, that answers the second question. What rank were you?
I went from ensign, and I got out 5 months ago as a commander in the Navy.
What was your unit's name / designation?
My last unit was Office of Naval Research, and I've served in various units throughout the 28 years.
Where did you report for duty?
Washington, D.C., for the most part. Although I did do work, and we did work in Arizona. I did work in Annapolis, Maryland, but the unit met in Washington.
Where did you undertake basic training?
I guess at Maine Maritime Academy, they had the basic training for marching and saluting and all that stuff. So Castine, Maine.
What, if any, was your specialty?
Navigation and cargo handling, including oils, vehicles, and stuff like that. That was my major.
Where did you serve when you were deployed?
My two ships were the USS Preserver, that was in Little Creek, Virginia, and the second ship was the USS Ponce, and that was in Norfolk, Virginia.
Did you serve in one or more a country or a geographic area?
Oh, yeah. I guess I was in the Caribbean a lot, tough duty, all through the late 80s and early 90s, and then I got deployed 1 year to Afghanistan in 2011, 2012.
How were you transported to these conflict areas?
Well, the two ships that I served on was the Caribbean, but I went by plane to Afghanistan.
What were your immediate differences you encountered in your area of operations?
I shut the door. Well, quality of life around the world is a lot different than the United States. You know, that's one thing. One thing I mentioned to my kids is that mail service. There's no guarantees that you're going to get mail anywhere else in the world, but in the United States, you're pretty much going to get your envelope. Banking, you're not going to have to pay a bribe to a policeman to get anywhere, but around the world, that's not the case. So I think we're pretty lucky in that regard.
What were your recollections of any civilians you encountered while abroad?
Civilians in the Caribbean, it's pretty poor generally, except for where the Americans go to vacation. So that's kind of sad, is that there's the fenced-in resort areas, and then there's the poor people in the Caribbean islands. And then overseas in Afghanistan, it's just destitute poverty, where no shoes, where your house has cardboard and corrugated steel. It's a lot different. That's, when we think poor in America, is not, that's middle class anywhere else,
Yeah. When, if ever, did you encounter an enemy?
I guess I was in Afghanistan. It's tough to tell because you could never tell if it was a bad guy or not. They wouldn't reveal themselves. Hey, I'm Taliban. So pretty much everybody was a potential death threat. So you were worried about anybody killing you, blowing you up. We never opened our doors. Even if it was Afghan National Forces, we didn't trust them. We wouldn't open our doors for them. So I don't know. It could have been every time and none of the times. I have no idea.
Were you ever involved in combat?
We did get attacked on in September of 2011. I was in the green zone, so it was the embassy, ISAF headquarters, and a bunch of ministries for Afghanistan. They got attacked for a day, but it was only like nine Taliban trying to shoot their way in, but our base had like 2,000 people on it, so it wasn't really dangerous, but they were launching like RPGs at us and stuff, so I guess we could have got hurt. I was in more danger getting shot by one of my own guys than by a bad guy.
How did you prepare yourself mentally for a dangerous situation?
Well, it started at home. You know, you got to do the will. You know, who gets what. I had to do power of attorney for my wife to sell the house and all that stuff. You write death letters to people. You know, your kids, your parents, your wife. So you start preparing it way before, because it's too late. Once you catch the bullet, it's too late to prepare for death. And then once you're overseas, you don't worry about it. You just kind of do your mission and try to keep your eyes open.
How was your return to America after being deployed?
You know, at that point, it was, the Afghanistan conflict started in 2001. By 2012, they kind of had a pretty good process. One of the things that I thought was great is that you didn't take a plane from Afghanistan right to the U.S. You had to go someplace for a couple of weeks and kind of decompress. And the Navy did a really good job in, talking. One of the things I'll never forget is just turning in your stuff. You have a flak jacket, you have an M4, you got your 9mm, you got stuff. And, you've had it for you. They protected you for a year. And now, instead of just turning it in, like, all right, you're done, see you later, it was more like almost like a celebration. Like, hey, thank you, good job. Like, applause. At first, you thought it was silly, but in retrospect, it was almost like a milestone you reached. Like, hey, you've reached this where you're turning in your stuff. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. So I think the Navy did a really good job in that, and I think the other services did the same thing. I guess, like, in Vietnam, the bad thing was you'd be in the jungle, and then 2 days later, you're in the United States walking around in a shopping mall. And I could imagine that was pretty tough for the Vietnamese veterans, that, man, you're in a combat zone waiting to get shot, and then 2 days later you're walking around in ShopRite, you know, yeah, and people are bitching at you at the deli, you know.
How often do you think about your wartime experiences?
Well, I'm relatively new, so, you know, 2012, so that was 5 years ago. So I don't know, you know, twice a week. And plus, the guy that I served for, General McMaster, he's actually serving as President Trump's NSA advisor. So every time he's in the news and I hear his voice, I get a shiver down my spine, and I think of my wonderful experiences working for him.
Are they negative or positive experiences?
Well, the guy, he's top notch. He's definitely a scholar, a honest person, hardworking. But working for him, he was very demanding. And, 15-hour days were normal. And doing 30 things a day and then getting yelled at if two of them didn't get done was common.
How did the war change you?
I was at, my daughter asked me that, and when you're with yourself 24 hours a day, you don't see any changes slowly. People from the outside are the only ones that can see a significant change. So I don't think I changed, but I don't know. No one has really said that I've come back. Thank God I didn't experience any, situations like some of the Army and Marine Corps veterans that were in villages and they saw carnage or their friends getting shot. So I had a much milder experience in Kabul, in the capital, than the guys out in the villages that, you know, had day-to-day bad stuff happening. So I don't think I was changed that much.
Okay.
I'm the happy-go-lucky guy that you know so well.
That's all I have.
All right.